In sections 8, 9, and 10 of the Institutes, Calvin is going to talk about the third rule, and that is when we come to the Lord in prayer, we must come humbly and seeking His mercy. In section 9, he is going to say that the forgiveness of sins, pleading for that, is the most important part of prayer. But let's begin in section 8, where he says this. To this, let us join a third rule. Remember, the first rule is that we come reverencing God. The second rule is that we come with a due sense of need and not just with formality. The third rule, he says, that anyone who stands before God to pray, in his humility giving glory completely to God, abandon all thought of his own glory, cast off all notion of his own worth, in fine, put away all self-assurance, lest, if we claim for ourselves anything, even the least bit, we should become vainly puffed up and perish at his presence. Calvin here, of course, is encouraging this to a humility before God that is consistent with our sinfulness. Not that there's sin in general, some people are sinful, but that each one of us, when we come to the Lord in prayer, we remember that we are coming to the holy God. Calvin gives examples of this. He says, we have repeated examples of this submission which levels all haughtiness in God's servants. Listen to this. He says, each one of whom, the holier he is, the more he is cast down when he presents himself before the Lord. Daniel, Calvin points out that Daniel not only includes himself in his famous prayer of Daniel chapter 9 in the sins of his people, but at the end, he said in verse 20, when I had confessed my sin and the sin of my people. And remember in Ezekiel, Daniel's called one of the three holiest men who ever lived. He gives a further example in the life of David. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no man living is righteous before you. At the end of that first paragraph in section 8, he quotes from Isaiah 64. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. O Lord, do not remember iniquity forever. Behold now, consider we are your people. Now, from these examples, Calvin draws this. Observe that they depend on no assurance whatever but this alone, that reckoning themselves to be of God, they do not despair that he will take care of them. Then he gives an example of Jeremiah with the same thing. How can we maybe put a capstone on this? We need to remember that when we come to God, we're certainly not coming to Him as an equal. We should never come into His presence flippantly. We shouldn't come into His presence casually. We should come into His presence with the confidence that He's our Father and that He loves us, but always remembering that we are sinful. Calvin says, the holier a man is, he says, the more he recognizes what a sinner he is, so that we are confessing our sins and truly humbled before him. This is far different from that cavalier, almost flippant spirit with which we often hear men praying, and especially in the public services of the church. We ought to come sincerely struck down before the Lord. If Daniel, Isaiah, David, bold men, courageous men. Jeremiah speaks of our iniquities that we have sinned against you. If those men came into God's presence basically beating their breasts like the man in Jesus' parable and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Calvin says, unless we come to God like that, we do not do justice to His holiness, to His majesty, nor do we do justice to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator between God and men.